Hello, my friends. This is Jeff Yalden, celebrity teen and family life coach, coming to you today with a special message, 7 tips for parents of teens. If you're like me, you know that raising teens in a digital world is a bit of a challenge. Raising teens today compared to raising teens maybe 20 years ago is a lot different. I think our kids would rather spend time on their devices, their cell phones, and their smartphones, their social media platforms texting you from across the room than they would just simply engaging in conversation with you. I've had the opportunity and the honorable opportunity and the awesome experience of working with teenagers for 23 years. I don't want to spend a lot of time just talking my message to you. I want to be kind of direct and concrete with the tips that I want to give you as to not waste your time nor waste my time. I've always come to learn that when we tune into an audio or a CD, we tend to only just listen to a couple minutes of it. So I don't want to be too long in my words with you. But like I said, I started my career coming out of the Marine Corps. I was teaching. Let me rephrase that. I was a full-time permanent substitute teacher. That's about as much as I wanted because I'm not really a curriculum guy, but I did what all the teachers asked me to do. Where I loved working with young people was as a coach. I coached soccer, I coached basketball, and I had some outstanding kids. And one of the things the kids always said to me is, you know, coach, everything that we did, you had a message about life for why we were doing what we were doing. I really appreciate that, and I come back and look at those days, and what a great time I had. So I was fooling around today, and I came up with 7 tips for parents of teens, and I'm going to kind of get into my message from there. After working with these kids in the high school, I decided then that I wanted to share my message more worldly. I wanted to be bigger. I wanted to talk about things like character and sportsmanship and giving your best effort in everything that you could. And so here we are. I'm 44 years old, and I get to work with teenagers and parents, and I have 2 biological daughters myself, and I've also been fortunate to have been involved in many kids' lives, not just nieces and nephews, but I've just had a great honor and opportunity of touching hearts and changing lives. So I'm going to kind of give you my words and my experience with kids, and I hope you enjoy it, and please feel free to use it. And if you ever have any questions, please know I'm at jeffyalden.com. You can also find me on social media at Jeff Yalden, Facebook, Instagram. So I'm there. Okay. We have real world problems, real life issues, and we are trying to raise kids in the world that we're accustomed to. So as a parent, I share this with you. In no particular order, I'm just going to make 7 points that I hope will benefit you in parenting. Number 1, positive messages. One of the things I think is really important is, you know, you can look at this. Technology has changed. Education is changing. The way kids dress is changing. The way they talk, the way they speak, the books they read. You know, everything is changing. But there's one thing that will never change from one generation to the next. And that's that first impression. I think some of the things that are most important are the 8 most powerful phrases. Please, thank you, you're welcome, excuse me, yes sir, no sir, yes ma'am, no ma'am. Let's not forget the 8 most powerful phrases. And I think we live in a society where we've gotten kind of away from what's important. The other thing is the handshake. When you teach someone how to shake someone's hand, you make eye contact. It's a firm handshake of confidence and self-esteem. I meet a lot of people where I think to myself, you know, you ain't never had someone in your life that taught you how to shake someone's hand. Not just, I'm not talking about kids, but I'm also talking about, I meet some administrators, I meet some adults, I meet some teachers, and I'm kind of like, how are you teaching our young people when you don't even know simple things yourself? So along those lines, you know, with positive messages, I think we as a parent every single day should try and teach our children a wise message that will benefit them, but also make sure that you give meaning to why you're giving the message. And let's also remember, we're going to do it at their level. We're not talking at them. We're talking with them. And one of the things I always say is when you're talking to a teenager, make sure you're at their level. If they're sitting on the floor, you sit on the floor. I'm 6'1", I'm 200 and a lot of pounds. I don't necessarily mind getting on the floor. It's just getting off the floor that can be tough. But when you're at their level, you have a greater chance of them wanting to spend time talking and listening to you than if you're standing above them and they see you as the parent, the authority figure. So make sure that you're on their level. And wise messages, we kind of preface it with, you know, can I share with you something that I've learned over the years? It's the wisdom and experience. Don't just try and say, well, I'm the parent, you need to listen to me. That's not going to work at all. Balance who they are versus the right amount of pushing. So what exactly does that mean? You know who your kid is. You know academically how well they can do, if school comes easy to them, if school is a challenge to them, if they're athletically gifted or if they're not as athletically gifted. So I want you to find a balance between you knowing who they are versus you pushing them to be beyond what they're capable of being, because then you're going to set them up for failure. They're going to want to resist you and they're not going to want to participate in anything. So I say this to a lot of parents who are caught up trying to live their lives over through their kids, and they're trying to get their kids that scholarship to help pay for their education, but the kid is not gifted in a particular sport or something. Hey, the bottom line is this. I am tired of us asking our kids, where you want to go to college? What do you want to study? What do you want to be? At this age for teenagers, I want our kids to grow up and be enthusiastic about something. I want them to find something that they're passionate about. Because if they're enthusiastic and they have a passion for something, their success in life is going to take care of itself. Most of our kids today are graduating from college, and almost 80% of them aren't even working in the field of study that they spent 4 years studying in. So what I'm trying to say is I don't want your kid to be 28 years old, living in your basement, watching late night television, sitting on a beanbag chair naked, eating Doritos, contemplating why things didn't work out for them. Listen, our kids are not entitled to anything. And I know that you've spent so much time telling them they're special and they're wonderful and they believed you. The problem is what we never told our kids is that they are special to us. Our children need to understand that they're no special than anybody else in that room, anybody else on that field, and they have to work for things that they want. So you as the parent, balance who they are, you know, versus pushing them for what you want. You want the best from them. You want them to work hard. You want them to give everything they have. But if their best isn't 100, if their best is maybe like a 75 in calculus, let's be proud of that 75, but we don't let them settle for 70 if 75 is what they're capable of. Unconditional love while still holding them accountable. Listen, if you don't teach your kids about responsibility today, they will not know about responsibility tomorrow. So You unconditionally love them, and you tell them every day that you love them. You love them regardless, but you still have to hold them accountable because that's what we do. We teach our children. We inspire our children. We are role models for our children. Show interest in things that they like to do and allow them to speak. I remember growing up, my dad was a very hard worker. My dad was more into cars and motors and, you know, so we never had that. You know, my dad was always supportive and all that, but we always liked to play sports and basketball. My dad didn't grow up in sports, so we would be outside shooting free throws and playing basketball. My dad might be in the garage or doing something. And I kind of think that, you know, I wish my dad would have come out and just maybe rebounded for a little bit and just spent time with us. So show an interest. And I think when you show that interest, your kids will be more likely to want to be able to share with you. I want to ask you this question also. If your child has an emotional issue and they feel that they need an adult to talk to, my question to you is this. Can your child come to you as that adult without feeling that you're going to condemn them, that there's a fear of disapproval, that you're going to make judgments about them, that you're going to lecture them? And if you're saying no right now, I think you need to really reevaluate your parenting. When a child needs to speak openly, they need to feel that they can come to you without you correcting them, fixing the problem, judging them, or disapproving of them. You need to make it so that your child can lose their ego and open their heart, and you're going to listen. And maybe you offer advice, or you say, you know, hey, I'm proud of you for coming to me. This is something that maybe you're going to have to work out. But if you want my opinion, you know that I'm here and I'll be happy to listen, or I'll be happy to give you my opinion, whatever you want. But the important thing is, can you listen while your child wants to talk to you? Also, in number one, the positive messages, I think one thing we do is we teach manners and respect for other people. And we do that by example. We do that by setting the example. So number one is sending positive messages every day. Number two, I titled this Drive Them Crazy. What do I mean by that? You know, a lot of times you're the driver and you're driving them to school, you're driving them to different activities. Well, when you're driving them to these different activities, a lot of our kids get on their smartphones and they'll be checking Facebook or Instagram and they want to see what's going on. Listen, if you're going to be the driver, you're not their chauffeur. So I think what you should do is make sure that their head beat, their beats are off their head, the music is off, their phone is off, and we're spending time together. We're looking out the window and we're being happy. We're talking about simple current events. Don't speak to your child and not listen to your child. Ask probing questions, and let's not get like right into it. Let's just, you know, nice casual conversation about things that your child is interested in. You want to learn about these things. Also, find time to be involved in their life, such as you're reading to them. You might be playing a game with them. You find things to do in the car, games that you can play. I think being in the car is a great time to talk, and you get to know your child, and your child has nowhere to go. So let's not discount this incredible time that we have. Sorry about that interruption. That was actually my dog barking, but hey, this is real life, right? Number three, give room for mistakes. Mistakes happen. Talk with them, not at them. Often they're going to fail. They're going to have setbacks. Expect the unexpected because life is not perfect And I want you as a parent to breathe before you react. Remember, these are our children. These are defining moments every day that we have as a parent to set a positive example, to say some encouraging words, to teach them right versus wrong. Provide good counsel when they make a mistake. Listen, they're going to go through life and they're going to do things where they're not thinking. And this is going to cost you. This is going to cost you emotionally. It might cost you financially. But you can't really expect that your children to go through life and not make any mistakes. And I'll be frank with you. If they do go through life and they don't make mistakes, I'm probably thinking they're probably going to make mistakes later in life. And if they make mistakes later in life, that's going to be so much harder to recoup from than if they make mistakes when they're young. So, you know, give room for mistakes and go back to the positive messages. Let's be the parent. Give direction to make corrections, and let's make the wrongs, let's make them right. Don't demoralize them. Talk to them like adults, but talk to them at their level. Stay calm, be at their level. And if they made a mistake, you make sure that they understand they're obligated to sit down with mom and dad so we can talk this out. Number four, stay consistent. Stay consistent with your time. Patient, have lots of patience. Communication every day. And most importantly, unconditional love. You stay consistent with what you expect of them. You stay consistent with the chores that you have of them. And I'll tell you another thing. Do not use the word promise. Because if one time you fail to live up to a promise that you made, they will never forget that and they will hold you accountable. My daughter said to me once, she says, "Dad, don't promise me something and you not be able to follow through. So why don't you just like tell me that you're going to do the best you can?" And that was a great lesson I learned. So I never say I promise anymore. I always say I will do the best I can. I'll tell you another thing I use. I use Evernote on my smartphone, and I have different categories for all of my notes. And sometimes, you know, my daughters will say something and I'll have a commitment. I'll say I'll do the best I can, but I keep track of everything in my calendar and in my notepad, Evernote. So let's stay consistent. Let's be firm. Let's be fair. And let's be consistent with everything we say and everything we do. Number five, this is one of my favorites, and I've used this for many years. Teach your children that responsibilities and obligations come before rights and privileges. I do not know where our children are getting off with this. The world owes me something. Listen, you don't go to work on Monday and get a paycheck to work the whole week. No, you go to work on Monday, you work Tuesday, you work Wednesday, you work Thursday, you work Friday. There's no check today? Nope, you have to wait till next Friday now. So if you do this, you're going to get that. And if you do that, then you're going to get this. You know, another example is too much Xbox. Okay, listen, you can play on Monday as much as you read on Sunday. If you read an hour on Sunday, you can play an hour of games on Monday. You can play Tuesday as much as you may have read on Monday, and so on and so forth. You read for an hour, you can play for an hour. If you don't read, you don't get to play. I'm sorry, but it's responsibilities and obligations before rights and privileges. I don't drive a car and put gas in the car after I've driven it 600 miles. You put gas in the car and then you drive the car. You fill it up with gas and then you drive. In the very beginning, you don't drive it, then put gas in later. No, it's not, no. responsibilities. You do this and you get that. If you work, you're going to get paid. If you show love and give love, you're going to get love back. If you give respect, you're going to get respect. If you give of yourself, you're going to receive back. It's that simple. One of the other things I think too is being truthful all the time. Parents are being truthful. Our children are being truthful, and you have that expectation for each other. And parents, if you did something wrong, if you failed, you own up to it and let your children know, you know, we're not perfect. We make mistakes sometimes too. I've always been taught to work for things. I had a job and I had to pay for my own stuff. I know many kids grew up and they had to pay for their car. They had to pay for everything that went with the car, insurance and gas. They had to pay for clothing. You know what? I think it's one of the best things that we can do for our children. And, you know, if you're in a position where you can afford it, you know, that's fine. But I think teaching them about responsibilities is a good thing. I think babying your child and giving them everything they want, you're setting them up for failure later in life. So I'm going to leave this to you, but have balance. It's you're doing this because you're trying to teach your children. So between enjoying life, job, sports, there's got to be a balance in all of that. And nothing comes free. Nothing is easy. I think sometimes we expect our children to be these super children, and with us enabling them, we're ending up hurting them more. So while your children are in your house, you're the parent, you know better. Let's teach them about responsibility. Let's teach them about making good choices. And let's teach them about attitude. And the best way to do it is by us setting the example and us communicating with them. Number six, say nothing and carry a big stick at the immediate moment. What does this mean? Our kids are going through some crazy emotions, and that's normal. One of the things I always get, Jeff, my kid's 15. Jeff, my kid's 16. What do I do? Blah, 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 blah. Listen, your kid is 15. Your kid is 16. You know what? Say nothing when a lot of people don't understand why their kids treat them worse than they treat anybody. I want to explain to you why. Unconditionally, your kids know that you love them and you will never leave them. So sometimes when our kids are going through these crazy emotions, they take it out on you. I'm sorry. It doesn't make sense. No, it is not right. That's why I'm saying to you, say nothing. And the longer you just sit back and breathe, you end up carrying the bigger stick. So at that immediate moment, they might be saying something. They might be yelling at you. They might be angry or something. Stay calm. Don't fight back. Don't yell back. Don't put gasoline on the fire. Stay calm. Think rationally and breathe through it. And then, you know, you tell them, listen. Why don't you go to your room or why don't you go and do something and take 20 minutes and really come down and breathe. And when you're able to think rationally and speak to me like a mature young man or woman, then we will have a conversation about this. A lot of times emotions will heal given time. So I think what we want to do is we want in the silent part when we're communicating, you know what? We can always break their will, but we should never break their spirit. I think also another thing, always have the big picture in mind so you don't pick battles and break down relationships over things that really don't matter in the end. I know sometimes I think of myself, it might be something that's bothering me, something that's festering. And I always say to myself, in 24 hours, is this really going to matter? you know, simple things like, you know, curfew times, hair color, piercings, clothing. Most of that is negotiable with me as long as we're having conversation. I can make my point. I can listen to their point. I am pretty big on the curfew time because I think that's about respect. Also, nothing good happens after midnight, so I want my kids home by midnight. Also depends on their age. I give my opinions and why I'm giving my opinions. But ultimately, if it really doesn't matter that much, I want to let them decide. And when I hear what they're going to say or the decisions they're making, I'm either going to overpower them or I'm going to be a little lenient. This is all about trust and communication. If they do something where they break down the trust, you know what? You can pull a little bit tighter next time. But really save your Jedi powers for the things that can really damage them or others or your family or your relationship. So sometimes it's okay to just walk away and say, you know what? I need to process this. Let me think about it and I'll get back to you. Let's not react. Let's respond appropriately. Same thing we tell our kids. Don't react. Stop and think. Respond. Number 7, be the parent. Be the adult. You are the parent. You are the adult. You know better. In communicating with your children, tell them there is never a problem that's too big and that you'll always be there to help. For example, if they're driving and they end up somewhere where they start drinking or someone else was a driver and your child needs a safe ride home, assure them that they can always call you and that you'll come pick them up. And when you pick them up, you're going to be proud of them for making a good decision. Listen. Drinking under 21 is not legal. If you are 21 and you drink moderately and you're of the age and you're responsible, that's your business. I'm sitting here telling you, I know what our kids do, and I know that no matter how much you tell them not to, you're not with them 24/7, they're going to do certain things. Let's just go all the way back to the beginning, sending positive messages and understanding that we're given room for mistakes. They're going to make mistakes. But when they make the mistakes, the question is, can they call you? Can they call you trusting that you're not going to be that upset? You know, you might be upset, but the bottom line is this. Can they call you knowing that they can deal with the consequences, but they can trust that you're going to pick them up first and maybe not say anything right away, especially when tempers and emotions are high? Always leave them, I'm proud of you. Tell them you're proud of them. Ask questions. Don't always give the answers. Encourage small failures. It's okay to not be perfect. I think small failures and accepting them is a pathway to larger and greater successes in their life. So I'm going to give you a bonus right here. This comes from a teenager I was talking to. The best parenting advice this teenager wants to say is something that he and his mom participate in. And that is simply this. Openness and trust. They're able to communicate on a level where they can be open with each other and they can trust in each other. I think that is really awesome. My friends, that is 7 tips for parents of teens. This is your friend Jeff Yalden at jeffyalden.com. Know I love you and know that I want nothing but the absolute best for you and your child. Again, Jeff Yalden at jeffyalden.com and the author of Your Life Matters. Thank you for listening.